Hey, how's it going, everyone? This is Iffy here. You know what time it is. We're 4 weeks in. We're talking about the Max Fun Drive. And I know it's a real tough time for all of us, and we've been asked to be making sacrifices for the common good, and for some of us, the sacrifices are just extraordinary. At its best, Max Fun Drive is a demonstration of what we can do when we come together, and it's worth celebrating right now. And so we want to take this opportunity to come together as a team, the Who Shot team, talk to you a bit about Max Fun Drive, because there are many ways to help in the drive, and someone's about to let you know about that right now.
Ooh, I'm that someone.
Are you that someone, Drea?
Oh, yeah. Tell me that I'm somebody. Don't make me Aaliyah up on this place. Yeah. You guys, joining Max Fun is quick and easy. Two of my very favorite things. You could just visit MaximumFun.org/join. You'll see all the different levels and the thank you gifts we can offer with each. You get all the great bonus content, which is a huge library of so many fun things that I'm part of ours, and I'm on the Switchblade Sisters one, just saying. But every single show did an extra episode that you can only access that way.
Days of listening.
Days. The road trip of your dreams. You can listen and get access to that at just $5 per month. At $10 per month, you get that plus a cool enamel pin from your favorite show, which is, of course, Who Shot Ya, and our pin is a sweet little For the Thirsty baby. I love it. You'll also have the option to purchase other pins, with the proceeds of those going to charity. At $20 a month, you get the Max Fun custom game pack that has Max Fun dice in a velvet bag with the Rocket logo. And we would not include the fabric if it wasn't a dope fabric like velvet. Also gets a deck of custom Max Fun playing cards with podcast inspired designs. You can check out all of these things and more at MaximumFun.org/join. It is the last week. If you've been holding out, now is the chance. You can definitely become a member all year. And if you're listening to this outside of the range of the Max Fun Drive, please do. We can take that support whenever. However, these sweet, sweet goodies are yours just during the drive. So I'd say it's a real good deal, if you ask
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
And I love a deal.
All right, well, with that being said, let's get this thing started.
Careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
Does anybody here know how many times I've had to watch Funny Lady?
I'm going to get that gun of mine, and I'm going to change you from a rooster to a hen with one shot.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Who Shot Ya? I'm your host, Iffy Waddy Wayne, sitting in the booth with my virtual friends. So why don't I introduce you to those cool friends? All right, first up, we have Alonzo Duralde. Alonzo, what's good?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that we're your real friends in the virtual booth. Just, yeah. You know, that was a tricky little adjective thing there. Yeah. Just want to get that nailed down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm a lifelong fan, but I think, you know, in these times now more than ever, I really appreciate the U.S. Postal Service. I've always been excited when the mailman was coming, but I think right now, like, it has become a central part of a lot of our days of what's going to show up, because I think, you know, everybody's ordering a lot more stuff via the mails, things that we don't feel comfortable venturing out into the world to get. Of course, Republicans want to shut it down because that's what they do. So just a reminder to everybody that the post office kicks ass, and, you know, buy some stamps. What the heck?
Also, the preferred nomenclature is mail carrier. We don't need to gender our post office workers, Alonzo.
You are correct. My mail person.
Yeah.
Doing it right.
I know. Yeah. I'm in it. I'm waiting for so many things. My teen purchases are out of control. I bought an air fryer top for my Instant Pot because your boy needs to, you know, air fry some fries. So they air fry some chicken. Air fry.
I want to report on how that works.
Okay. Me too. I don't know. We're going to go on this adventure together. Also, who's hanging out, whose voice you did hear earlier, who we know and love, Drea Clark. What's good?
Hey, buddy. Well, I couldn't resist butting in, because, you know, I love butting in, especially if it could be pretentious and condescending. So my brand is still real in that way. And what is good for me is much less noble than Alonzo, and that is my friend Hannah this week started watching very specifically, and it's her first foray into it, 90 Day Fiancé season 4, and then started texting me recaps. So it is like the sub shoot of a nonsense show that I don't watch in a deep season, and I'm now getting like full personalized recaps from my sweet buddy, and they're great. Also, people do not make great romantic choices, and I get the appeal of that now that I've had it like mainline to me. I'm like, oh no, I could see losing weeks to something like that.
I miss the soup, and I miss TVWithoutPity.com. Anybody who can give me a snappy recap of a show that I do not want to watch, always welcome.
She also throws in screen grabs, so I know what the woman in the Ukraine looks like for the guy that's been chatting with her for like 5 years. So it's fun.
Well, look, Alonzo, if you like a snappy recap of shows you don't want to watch, well, then you're going to love who's sitting in the virtual booth with you, because she does have a 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 90 Day Bay. She hosts Nailed It. She has the podcast Why Won't You Date Me, where my thick, sexy self got to be on there. I got to go on now, now that I'm single. I need to re-up the DM slides. Newcomers and so much more. My friend, My sister, my love, Nicole Byer, was
my
good.
My brother, thank you. Ooh, what a beautiful intro.
Really?
Also, it was hard to keep quiet because I fucking love 90 Day Fiancé. It is the funniest show on television. These people are fucking lunatics. Everyone makes the wildest choices. The way I got in was by watching a tell-all. If you watch a tell-all, then you're like, wait, the fuck? What happened this season? And then you have to go back and watch it. One of the most iconic is Danielle and Muhammad. During a tell-all, Muhammad is asked about having sex with Danielle, and she goes, Muhammad doesn't... Also, they sound insane. All of them have the wildest voices. So Danielle goes, Muhammad don't want to have sex with me because he says I have a smell down there. And then Muhammad goes, it's sick. You need to get it checked out on national television. This man said she had a stinky pussy and she didn't quite say no. It's iconic.
These kids are going to work it out.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm well behind, but now I have even more incentive to catch up.
Just in
90 Day Fiancé, is that the same one where that one kind of weird-looking dude has the beautiful Asian woman and is complaining to you?
See, that is Ed and Rose, and the way Rose rejects him is it's legendary. It is so good. Then there was this woman, Larissa, on Before the 90 Days. Larissa was dating Colty, and... At one point, so Colt is very close to his mother, and at one point Larissa goes, do you fuck your mother? And the editors are so kind and so good to you. There was this one lady named Natalie who I lovingly call Fatalie, and Fatalie drives a scooter, a very small scooter. She's arguing with her friend, and you see the scooter in the background. And as I was watching, I was like, we got to see her drive away on this little ass scooter. And you better believe those editors gave us everything we wanted. A fat woman moving very slowly on a motorized scooter.
Oh,
into the
gosh.
Sunset.
You have to watch it. It is, at one point, one of the Asuelos were riding a bike and he goes, my boo-hole hurts. He said boo-hole instead of butt. Like, how do you come up with boo-hole?
The T is silent, clearly.
Yeah, I'm sold. I have to see it because I have to see it in action. Oh,
wait,
okay.
Did you have something good beyond me just steering everything into 90 Day Fiancé?
No, I'm so glad we came down here. No, nothing good for me. You don't want to hear about what I'm getting into with my VR headset. It's not good. It's not clean. I'm in the teen. Today, this is a retro rewind episode, so we're going to go back in time and talk about a little movie called Ghost. But first, Since we're reaching into the past to talk about today's film, producer Casey has created a game to test our knowledge of the main actors in the movie Ghost. So we're going to play a little game called Demi, Swayze, or Whoopi. Casey, please explain the rules because they are not written down.
Hi, yes, thank you. This is producer Casey here. Yes, this is an old game. You know, my dad taught me. We'll go around and quiz everyone on the lives of the main actors of the film Ghost. Whoopi Goldberg, Patrick Swayze, and Demi Moore. I will tell you a bit of trivia, and you must answer me by saying whether you think it's Demi, Whoopi, or Swayze.
Is Tony Goldwyn not included?
Tony Goldwyn is not included.
Okay.
That's, yeah, it's just,
I'm just saying, Carl is a very pivotal point of the movie. Very important character.
I'll give you a little anecdote about Tony Goldwyn. I worked at a restaurant, and he was the nicest customer I've ever had.
Oh,
he's a big sweetheart.
That makes me so happy. I love Tony Goldwyn.
He's a big old sweetie. So each of you will be given three questions, and if you get the question wrong, whoever jumps in and yells the right answer first will steal the point. But you have to wait for me to say that the question, that your answer was wrong.
Okay.
Does that all make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Iffy, we're going to start with you.
Okay, well.
You got this.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This person co-wrote and sang the top 10 hit, She's Like the Wind.
I mean, come on.
Demi.
Are you kidding?
Wrong.
Swayze.
Patrick, can I answer? It's Patrick Swayze.
I'm glad everyone knew except me. I'm not Swayze.
Okay. In the motion picture Dirty Dancing. Iffy, my God.
For some reason, I messed up and thought the song was like she was the person singing the song because my first guess was Swayze. But then, like, I was like, oh, she's like, so it's like, you're singing like I'm like the wind.
Anyway, no, don't worry. He's singing about a woman that he was fucking and she's like the wind.
Yes. You're just digging in deeper. Iffy.
Yeah, okay. I'll come back.
Okay, so that point went to Alonzo because he jumped in and said it first.
Oh.
So you can jump in, and after I say the question's wrong,
okay,
the answer's wrong, you can jump in and steal a point. So Alonzo got that one. Okay, Drea, are you ready?
Yes.
In 1978, this person witnessed a mid-air collision of two planes in San Diego, causing them to develop a fear of flying.
In 78?
Yes.
Whoopi.
Yes.
That was going to be my guess.
Whoa. Played a numbers game.
She also famously recorded a soothing self-help tape for people who are afraid of flying, and I've listened to it.
Oh.
Were you soothed?
Yeah, yeah.
I was soothed.
All right. Do you have a fear of flying?
Yeah.
Oh, my mom does. She's the same way. That's why I guess Whoopi, because I'm like, might be just across the board for black women, you know?
No. Yep. I don't have a fear of flying.
You don't?
There you go.
All right. Alonzo, you're up next.
Okay.
This person co-wrote the song, an MTV video staple, It's Not a Rumor by the New Cats. Co-wrote the song, which was an MTV staple, It's Not a Rumor by the New Cats.
Whoopi?
Wrong.
Patrick Swayze.
The answer is Demi.
Dang.
Who did you hear first? Because I felt I was first. Oh. But yeah, we don't know.
I didn't even hear you. I didn't even hear you.
See, that's why I'm talking to the internet. The internet. See, it's all sending all this data for my good camera.
Was this while she was married to Bruno?
I was going to say, she was inspired by Bruce Willis's
No. She was married to a guy before.
Freddie?
Freddie Moore.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
She got married when she was like 18, which I'm going to shut up about in case it's a future question. Just giving shit away.
Yeah. No, I did a lot of research on Demi Moore because I got offered to write on the roast of Bruce Willis, and we had to write roast for Jamie Foxx, Demi Moore, and I think Bruce. And I looked up her life, and I was like, oh, I don't want to roast her. She's been through a lot, and so I didn't get the job.
She's from New Mexico.
Yeah.
Nicole, you're up next. Okay. This person taught acting classes to Courtney Love.
Demi Moore.
Wrong.
Whoopi.
Patrick Swayze.
Whoopi is correct.
It's a 1-3.
Whoopi is correct. I heard Alonzo first.
Yeah, no, Alonzo did get before me in my memory.
Okay. All right, moving on. Iffy, you're up again.
Okay.
This person was once an avid follower of Kabbalah.
Kabbalah?
Mm-hmm. The Jewish mysticism.
Okay. Is it Swayze?
Wrong.
Demi Moore.
Demi.
Demi.
Yes.
Damn it.
Demi. So that is was correct. Common knowledge, that was to too? Nicole.
Well, out of those, like, Madonna was the big figure.
Educated,
that
yes.
Yeah.
All right, Dre, you're up next.
Okay.
This person was born with the last name Johnson.
Demi Moore.
Wrong.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Karen Johnson.
I heard Nicole.
That's her real name.
What is it?
Yes,
Karen Johnson.
I believe it's Karen Johnson.
Carryn.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's correct.
All that these Karen correct. Jokes going around these days really gotta burn her. Like.
All right, here we go. Alonzo.
Okay.
As a result of their work on Ghost, their name has become a popular rap term.
Swayze?
Yes.
Yeah.
Means guess. To like disappear
to ghost,
like oh, a ghost. Okay.
It means
like a ghost
to disappear or ghost. It means to ghost from the movie Ghost.
Ghost.
Yes, exactly.
Where he plays a
you got
ghost.
It.
Yes.
All right, Nicole. This person was paid $10 million to voice a character in Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It's either Demi Moore or. I think it's Demi Moore.
That's correct.
Yes.
You got it.
Esmeralda.
Sick.
Esmeralda.
Oh, snap. I did not know she was Esmeralda.
I don't remember who the Hunchback was, but I remember she was Esmeralda.
I don't remember who that was
either. It was probably Tony Goldwyn.
Didn't come up. Yeah, Tony Goldwyn. Okay. Iffy.
Yes, I'm back.
Their first... This is your last question.
All right.
Their first professional appearance was as a dancer for the Disney theatrical group in a show... called Disney on Parade.
I'm going to go ahead and say that this person is going to have to be.
Oh my God.
Patrick Swayze?
Yes. You're on
you
the
just
board, Iffy.
Killed people.
And
people
so worth
died.
The wait.
Amazing.
All right, let's get out of here. Drea?
Yes.
Here we go. This person was inspired to start acting by their next door neighbor, Natasha Kinski.
Oh, weird. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I'm going to say Swayze.
Swayze? Wrong.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Demi is correct.
Oh.
I did read that on the Wikipedia article. I searched for those roasts.
Like when was she modeling in New York or something?
Something like that. All right, Alonzo, here's your last one.
Okay.
This person said this quote. I've always felt there was something... different in there, my personality, but I was scared to look, for I fear I wouldn't find anything. That's the reason I got into Buddhism, took EST training, was into therapy, into Scientology, into transcendental meditation. I was trying to support that side of myself.
Ooh, wow. Whoopi?
Wrong.
Debbie Patrick Moore. Swayze.
Patrick Swayze is correct. I heard Nicole.
Yeah, she got it.
With that, Nicole has taken the lead.
Like,
somebody knows
Swayze.
Her Swayze. Yeah.
All right. Nicole, here we go. Your last question.
Okay.
Although I think you already won. In October 2007, this person said they were retiring from acting because they were no longer sent scripts.
Demi Moore?
Wrong.
Whoopi
Goldberg.
Whoa, Alonzo, you tied it up. So you and Nicole are tied right now.
Oh.
This comes down to the final question, the tiebreaker. Here we go. This person named themselves after a toy that makes farts.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, Nicole wins.
Oh my God.
Congratulations, Nicole.
Well done.
Thank you. What do I win?
You win just the undying respect of all of our podcast listeners.
Is nothing tangible?
I can send you something in the mail.
He can maybe look for
I would like that.
A okay. fart product.
Yeah, maybe I'll send you a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about Ghost. Hey, how's it going? It's us again, but we also have super producer Casey O'Brien sitting in with us, and we want to talk to you about the Max Fun Drive.
You know, I'll tell you, I have been really kind of inspired by tweets and Facebook feedback from so many listeners talking about how this is, they really appreciate that once a week, you know, they've still got this touchstone, they've still got us to listen to. And I just want to tell everybody who's listening, like, back at you. Like, the fact that we all get together via, you know, Zoom or whatever once a week is definitely a highlight of my week. I love getting to see everybody's faces and having, you know, this conversation. And so, you know, whatever the show is bringing you guys as comfort food or just kind of like a little island of sanity during your week, it's the same for us. And I think I can speak for everybody here. You know, so we appreciate that we've been able to do this for you. We appreciate that you appreciate us doing it. But the doing it, you know, is a thing that it takes time. It takes the technology and just the money to keep producing these episodes and to put them out in the world. And that's where you guys come in. And so joining right now as a Max Fun supporter, upgrading your support as a Max Fun supporter who's already been doing it is what makes it possible for us to keep doing this and do it for you every week.
That's right, Alonzo. Casey O'Brien, producer here. let me just go over what goes into joining and becoming a member here at Max Fun. Membership starts at $5 a month. That gets you all the bonus content, including our wonderful Cats episode with comedian Joey Clift. We talk about the movie Cats. We talk about the filmed stage version of Cats. We talk about Cats the animal. It's insane. You'll be able to access that as long as you're a member, and there's a whole lot of already other bonus content there that's equally awesome. At $10 a month, you get a membership card and our cool pin, which is the retro-looking water bottle that says "For the Thirsty." And I know there's a lot of thirsty people out there, so I think you'll be able to really associate with that pin when you wear that out in public. You also get the bonus content with that. At $20 a month or more, you get this year's special gift, which is a Max Fun game pack featuring custom dice set and custom deck of playing cards, all with Max Fun designs. You can see little Who Shot Ya and Switchblade Sisters. I also produced that. Little, clues in those playing cards. So check that out. And you just visit MaximumFun.org/join to become a member. Isn't that right, Drea?
That's right, Casey. We had Casey do that part because his voice just sounds like a genial, handsome person in a polo shirt, which
who
is
works for a local PBS station.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who should be doing that rundown. I'm excited because along with the standard levels of membership, now you can do a subscription for a friend for 1 year, which means that both of you can enjoy all of this bonus content, which they want us to call BOCO, but I just feel, I don't feel good about that. I can't. I'm not cool enough for BOCO. But they get the BOCO, fine, the swag, all of it. So you can gift a subscription to someone that you know and love, but you can also gift a subscription to someone that you've never met who had to cancel this year due to COVID. We've been collecting those because it's meant a lot to people. So some of them have told us directly that's why they're unable to support financially. And I'm sure it would mean even more to them if someone came through with this. You'd be paying those gifts forward to them. And I'm sure they would love a little extra cheer. To do that, just check the anonymous Max Funster box when filling out the online form at MaximumFun.org/join, or you can add in, if there is a loved one that you want to indoctrinate to our goodness, you put them in there too.
Join us.
Yes. Please do.
We don't. This does not make us sound like you want to join us, but we're great. I promise, we're great. We love you.
Yeah, truly, and thank you so much. We do appreciate you. Appreciate the love. Appreciate all the tweets, retweets, the people who have copped. And show me you wearing that pin. I want to see. Throw. Post a thirst trap with the thirst pin.
Yeah, make it meta.
Yeah. Really, just we'd love to see it.
I want to express my gratitude to all the listeners as well. You guys are. I get to interact with you all the time as the producer of the show. I'm running all the social media accounts. That's me. Surprise. And so that's been really. It's really fun to get to connect with all of you guys. But you know who I'm also grateful for? Alonzo, Drea, and Iffy. I love these guys. I'm just going to go through a few things what I'm grateful for. Alonzo, there's no film critic I trust or respect more. I value and trust your opinions on films so much, and things you say on this show just make me laugh all the damn day. Drea, you are one of the kindest, most collaborative people I've ever met. You're so supportive as a, you know, to me as a producer. You really help me out a lot because of your great producing skills, and your energy is really the engine that makes this podcast move. And Iffy, you're one of the most delightful people I've ever met. Your energy is contagious. You make this show so positive and fun to record every week. You have helped cultivate a new version of this show, and I can't even imagine what this show would be without you anymore. You're so ingrained in it. And I'm just so thankful that we're able to make this show together. And it's because of all of our listeners that we're able to hang out every week and produce this cuckoo show.
Thank you.
That's
Casey.
sweet fellowship.
So sweet. Don't think we're going to run without telling you how sweet you were. And also me telling the audience how much hands you were using in speaking. I feel like that added to the element of care and love.
I am a hand talker.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way.
But, and a cat herder you are, Casey.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of hands and speaking of talking, we got to get back to talking about this movie. So let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Who Shot You? I'm your host, Ify Wadiwe. In the studio with me are...
Drea Clark.
Nicole Byer.
Alonzo Duraldi.
And today we're talking about the 1990 film Ghost. Alonzo, would you mind providing us with a brief synopsis?
Oh, sure. Patrick Swayze is a Wall Street type, and it's Manhattan in 1990, and you can still go downtown and get... closed up loft spaces for cheap, which he has done with his girlfriend Demi Moore, who is a ceramicist, and his their best buddy and seemingly only buddy in the whole planet is Tony Goldwyn, his co-worker. And when Patrick Swayze starts digging into some odd account discrepancies at the bank, that night coming back from the theater, he and Demi Moore are mugged and Patrick Swayze is killed. But oh noes, now he is a ghost, and only he can protect Demi Moore from dangerous, terrible things because she's in danger, girl, as we learn when Swayze does find a psychic, thought to be a phony psychic, but apparently the real deal, played by Whoopi Goldberg, who tries to convince Demi Moore that she needs to watch her back. And Swayze has to tie up all these loose ends so that he can go off to the shiny, gleaming afterlife.
That was an amazing synopsis. I have so many thoughts, but I do want to ask this first question verbatim that Casey wrote, which is, Nicole, why do you like this movie?
How dare you take that tone with that question?
I was wondering the same thing.
I mean, what is there not to love about it? So
yeah,
it is a suspenseful thriller, and then halfway through changes tone to a rom-com. And... I think Whoopi Goldberg is so fucking funny in it.
Oh, yes.
And Patrick Swayze is so sexy in it. And Tony Goldwyn is so bad, but like so hot. And then I love Willie Lopez. And then I love the man on the train. I just...
The man on the train. Oh.
I love him. I'm off my train. I just love the whole movie. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. I had so much fun with this movie. Like this, because I... only saw bits and pieces, and I know I did because for some reason I definitely have that Mandela effect where I thought the body intro scene was them both making clay together. Like I thought Whoopi was inside, but that never happens. They just kind of dance and move. Yeah, I was. If you would have asked me before I saw this movie, what happens when you know Swayze goes inside Whoopi's body? I was like, oh, they make a pot, and then and then they have sex. Like in my head, what? They had sex. Yeah, I don't know why, but I was so sure. But Whoopi is so good because this was like when she was in her bag and she was like so funny through the whole movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is I remember this Whoopi. Like this is like not too long. We get Eddie. Is this before or after Sister Act?
This is before Sister Act, I believe. And
so
before
the nun part
Eddie,
is real funny.
And before The Associate. It's before all of her iconic movies that very few people have seen. Eddie is a perfect movie.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie!
It's no Clara's Heart, okay?
Oh, my God.
I mean...
I will say, going back to the them throwing a pot on the kiln. I was surprised because I've seen this numerous times, but it's been a few years now. And when that clocked in at like minute 11, I was like, Jesus, they got right to that pot, huh? And of course, because he dies, so duh, of course it's at the beginning. But it's such an iconic like moment and visual, and it's so big. And I'll say that as much as the tones of this are a little meandering and it takes some different threads, this was even more enjoyable rewatching. I was like, oh, I love that they're all doing different things, but everyone is giving it their all. Demi Moore, I mean, like, other than we forget, or many people don't even know what a colossal movie star she was for so long, and that, like, she did so many different things. The tears that that woman could produce, and that just her haircut alone, like the Demi Moore's haircut in Ghost and Gwyneth Paltrow's haircut in Sliding Doors are what like straight white women who want a mom cut have been yearning for years, but they do not end up looking like Demi nor Gwyneth.
Before the Rachel happened.
Before the Rachel, yeah. But she's so good. Like, Demi, she, like, just always has, like, a few tears just ready to fall. She's so good and tough and interesting. And I loved the there were some parts that I was like, oh, that whole character is a real red flag. And did they really need to have a Puerto Rican actor play that role? but I found it so enjoyable, and it blows my mind that it was like an Oscar caliber and winning film in some ways, but it stands up overall for me of like just raw entertainment and like, oh, sure. If you're going to make a movie about something big and weird. Make it about a ghost in love with his wife still. Do it.
Yeah, I want to talk about these big characters because from the moment I saw Greg, I knew he was up to no good. Greg showed up.
Greg?
I'm like,
oh, who's Greg?
No, Tony
Greg?
Goldwyn?
Yeah.
No,
that's Carl.
Carl. I don't know why I said
Greg.
There is no Gregs in this movie. Oh,
yeah. As soon as Carl shows up, I'm like, oh, this is you're the bad boy. You're up to no good. I could trust you. And his bad acting, not actual acting. I mean, like his bad like.
His performance of being bad.
Yeah. Like him, that lie, his bad lie, I should say, when he's like, those files? I'm like, Swayze, you can't tell your friends like lying? He's like, what?
No, because Patrick is so good hearted. Sam Wheat is so kind, so good. He never would believe that Carl would like be doing dirty shit. Like, no, that's his friend.
He had a trusting heart.
Yeah. I saw this movie 30 years ago in its original release and did not like it. And I had not watched it again in that time. And I like it even less now.
Honestly, like, you're wrong.
I'm sorry, Nicole. This movie, okay. First of all, these characters are like hot nothing. I mean, we're given pretty much no establishment of who they are or what they care about, except for you are good and nice and you are bad
are
as
you
a shit.
Kidding?
I am not kidding.
Sam
Demi Moore is a blank piece of paper.
She has a job.
She has no friends. She has zero friends. Like, her boyfriend dies. She's got his asshole friend in her life. She has no support system, no family, no artists community that she's allegedly a part of because she's got a gallery show. Nothing. She's just, it's all Tony Goldwyn all the time.
I will say one of the things that I found interesting and that Nicole mentioned about Patrick Swayze, he's such a fascinating star subject because he has this curious blend, and it's so sad that he didn't get to do even more. But he's someone who's so macho beef hunky, and like we're introduced to both him and Tony shirtless. Like in the first 30 seconds, they're shirtless, they're knocking down a wall, they're like building this thing, and you're like, yes, I'm watching hunks. This is what I came here for. But he also, Patrick Swayze, brings a vulnerability to things that I've always found so fascinating. And in The Small Thing, because it's really hard to rewatch something and not look at its Wikipedia page now, so I'm totally guilty of that. But in looking at how many actors of that time turned down this role because they didn't think it would work, and it worked for millions and millions of people, not Alonso Duralde, but other people. And I like that we ended up with Patrick Swayze, who I think is one of the like secret weapons of this. Like, one of the reasons you're invested and you watch him puzzling things out is there is an your built-in sympathy for him that would be so different if it was Bruce Willis who it was offered to. Like, if I watched Bruce Willis killed by this or whatever, I would be like, yeah, I didn't see it, but he probably was doing something shady. Whereas Patrick Swayze, I believe, is like, no, he's a good guy who just happens to work at Wall Street and is like staying late to figure out the numbers.
I mean, I want to talk about Carl's moving in on Demi, which, look, I get Demi was fine this whole movie. This big moment for like chilling at home brawless. You know, I was like, okay, I did not remember the movie being this horny. And is the movie horny or am
it's
I just
a very horny movie? I think, yeah. But a combination of you being horned up too.
But like the classic, like, oh, I spilled something on myself. Let me like,
oh
like,
yeah.
That was such a thing in my youth that, like, I remember even my older brother was telling me, he was like, yeah, I was at this girl's house and I spilled something on my pants and I had to take my pants off.
Wait,
I was like,
what?
Why did you take your pants off? Why? That's not the appropriate reaction. Go home.
But not if you're trying to smash. A dude did that to me once and I was so are you going to take them off or what? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, just, if you're going to fuck me, fuck me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna sit around in wine drenched jeans.
Yeah,
yeah. That only works in so many households because if there's no, you know, in home washer, then it's like, well,
here's a Tide pin and a white paper towel. Get out.
I got some quarters. Here you go. Have fun. Yeah, I was saying it was funny too because like I had like bad guy goggles on
for Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah, for Tony Goldwyn. So I was like, oh, this slimy guy. Then he popped that shirt off and he had the taco meat. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess he's pretty hot too. I mean,
but
yeah.
But it's so
Demi
fucked up that
like,
he's trying to like woo Demi to get back the code or whatever in the book. And you're just like, Carl, is there no end to your villainousness?
Well, my favorite thing about Carl as a villain is so we find out like that he hired Willie Lopez to mug them just because he wanted these magic codes.
Yeah.
And that the killing wasn't on him initially, but then he was just like, all right, I'm all in. I'm not gonna like give myself up.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, all I could think was, man, it should be a lot easier for you to get some codes from your best friends. Like, you have constant access to their home. You're around them all the time. Like, why don't you spill some wine on his clothes? And then, oh, let me wash those for you. Like, I was just like, you're a terrible criminal.
Well, yeah. It was an accident. He wasn't supposed to kill him.
Right.
He was supposed to just steal the codes. And then I think he hired Willie to do it because if he got caught trying to do it, then there would be like trouble because I think Sam would probably be a whistleblower.
It would get traced back to him.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think he was trying to do it as anonymously as possible. And, you know, Willie Lopez fucked up. Poppity pop. Killed Patrick.
Willie Lopez.
I would say some of the fits they had Whoopi in were solid. The banking fit was a moment. I would say the only miss they had was when she was wearing a onesie to sleep, and I was like, no, I've not in my whole life.
There was I remember
my whole family.
I remember when Jumpin' Jack Flash came out, which is a movie that I generally like, but there was an article about how the movie is so aggressively desexualizing Whoopi Goldberg the whole time. Like everything she wears in that movie is oversized or like looks like granimals or is like a onesie that she sleeps in or whatever. And it's like I wonder sometimes if that's a thing where it's like, we'll put her in the wacky nightwear and then that way we don't have to think about her in lingerie or whatever.
That is something I felt in there where it seemed like there was a clear, like she wouldn't give Swayze the chance because he's white. And I was like, they have to establish that there's no way these two would, because in 90s, everyone was a potential pairing, I guess. So they're like, we got to make y'all know, keep your eyes on the prize. It's going to be Demi. Don't go.
But maybe she wears the onesie and not lingerie because she's got a male ghost following her around. And she's trying to be a little demure.
Also valid.
That's fair.
I do love that
the bridge between her being set up as a psychic, him wandering through, and then her being able to hear him, and then that unleashing the floodgates of like every dead person in New York.
It's so funny. It's when they all come and visit, especially that woman who's like, "Do you like my hair? It's autumn sunrise."
Oh my God. It's funny. Damn, baby, what'd you do to your hair is like a question I love to yell at almost anybody. It's so good. And she does. That's a hard line, too. It's a very funny, almost vaudevillian, super broad comedy that she's doing. But she also has to be selling. So there's all these, the scene where she's kind of translating him and back in the apartment to Demi. And she's just talked her way through, like, that's a fine line. And the fact that, like, I believe that that is exactly how a woman who is hearing a spirit, but mm-hmm. who also is kind of over it, is like, okay, no, I'm out. Like, there's not like an altruistic, it's not this super woo-woo kind of spiritualist. She's just like, all right, I said I'd help, and now you people are okay, I'm out.
A thing I think we tend to forget about 1990, and I think it plays a big role in Goldberg winning the Oscar that year and the Golden Globe and the other stuff, is that she also was in a film that year that I think is one of her best dramatic performances, a movie called The Long Walk Home, about the Montgomery bus boycotts, where she plays a housekeeper who works for Sissy Spacek and gets involved in the bus boycotts. And you know, it's part of it is, of course, the, you know, Sissy Spacek learns that race is a thing, you know, but Goldberg, the movie is so much about Goldberg's character, and it's, she's not just there as this sort of like device for white people. It's a really interesting portrait.
Her as a
of,
maid is not a device for white people, where a white person learns about racism.
I'm not saying it's not that. I'm just saying it's not just that. It's not solely that, which it would be in so many movies.
Nicole, when did you first see this? Like, how old were you? Because I saw this when I was so like probably at a sleepover. And I feel like that like shaded it to me. Like, it felt it a little adult and like a little like, so like the thriller parts of it felt more grown up, but it also didn't overwhelm me. You saw it pretty young too?
Yeah, probably at like 6, 7, or 8, something like that. Like, fair very, enough. Very young.
Did you believe in ghosts when you saw it?
No. Not really, but like kind of. I still kind of don't believe in ghosts. I don't know. I just took the movie for what it was, which was like really fun and a woman who looked like me being really funny. And I love it.
All right. Well, we're all out of time to talk about this movie anymore, debates or otherwise. And it's time for us to put our final review. Here we go. The final review of Ghosts. Would you screen it, stream it, or skip it?
Oh, I'll go. I would screen this with friends. Like, I've seen this with friends. I would be thrilled to live in a world where I could have people come over and watch Ghost with me. But I'd be thrilled just to see people in general. So it's a little weighted. Yeah, I find this just a super enjoyable, like, escapist, a little bit of everything in it. A little swoony, a little funny. What about you, Iffy?
For me, I you know, it's definitely screen it, but it was a movie where, like, I feel like it definitely could trim the fat and get to the goods. There's a lot, but you know, it was the 90s, and we all know we were wilding in the 90s. But good time, you love it, make it a party. It's definitely a party hang where everyone can chuckle and laugh. Definitely Alamo, maybe. Get that cheeseburger. I ate a burger.
You have a burger on the brain, dude.
You have a burger on the brain.
Oh, it's a skip for me. Nicole, again, I adore you, but do not make me watch this movie anymore. I beg you.
All right. I mean, I think it's a stream it alone at night in your bed. I think it's a stream it with all of your friends in the afternoon. I think you can watch it in the morning. I think you can watch it in the evening. I think you can watch it at supper time. When Ghost is on your TV, your life is better. I couldn't figure out a rhyme to end that pizza bagel bit. but I think it's such a good movie. It's just, you like escape and it's wonderful. I have maybe bad taste in movies. I don't know.
Taste
Look, I
taste.
Also think that Pacific Rim is a perfect movie.
I also loved Cats. Yeah. Alonzo, did you hate Cats?
Oh, we all went to see Cats together.
Yeah, we enjoyed Cats.
But
Alonzo
you
liked,
like,
cats,
you
more
liked
than the play.
Cats, but you didn't like Ghost?
No, I don't like Cats, but I like hate watching Cats. I don't even like hate watching Ghost.
I mean, this is so nuts to me.
Look, clearly
you guys,
I'm
we broke Nicole.
Clearly I'm in the minority. This movie was a massive hit. I remember what a huge cultural footprint it had at the time. We still reference the Pottery Wheel scene. I just don't think it's a good movie.
Every time you say scene. It, I feel like you're like spitting on my childhood kicking my dog in the stomach and no. Bringing my parents back from the dead and yelling at them for showing it to me.
God, never get into a Star Wars conversation on Twitter, Nicole. You're not ready for where that's going to go.
Oh, Star Wars fans are intense.
And apparently so are Ghost fans.
Just me. Truly, just me. I'm the only person to get actually heated about Ghost. Like,
did you see the Broadway musical?
Of course I did. It was awful. I dragged 8 people to see it with me. And I was like, please, guys, it's my favorite movie. But they switched too much. So they set it in Now Time. Have you seen the musical?
No, tell me.
They set it in Now Time. And then Molly and Sam live in Brooklyn. And Oda Mae lives in Manhattan, which was like a weird switch that nobody fucking needed. And then the two leads were so unlikable that you weren't rooting for them. You were like, I hope everyone dies. I know this is bad. You all could become ghosts. It was so awful. And it made me realize, I was like, oh, I like the movie for the people in it, not necessarily maybe the story as a whole. Yeah. But like, everyone was like charismatic and did a really nice job.
Is there glitter lighting around dead Sam so we know that he's dead
Sam?
Yes
and no. Like, the lighting design was flawless. They did a really nice job. It was just, whoever was the casting director shouldn't be a casting director. They should probably be put outside and left there. It was so awful. It was, and at intermission, everyone was like looking around and I was like, we have to finish what we started. It was, the picture we took after, nobody looked happy. It was so bad.
Amazing.
All right. Good to know. Well, it's time for staff picks. Since this is a retro rewind movie, we ask that everything from the staff pick comes from around the year Ghost was released, which was 1990. Nicole, why don't you start?
I didn't know I had to pick a staff pick.
Okay.
I'm part of the
staff. I can
start. No.
Yeah, you're part of the staff.
Great.
Yeah,
I work here. Where's my check? We talked about it earlier, Eddie. Eddie is the story of a limousine driver who then becomes the head coach of the New York Knickerbockers, which is what Frank Langella calls them. And little known fact, they started dating after that movie, Whoopi and Frank.
Really?
It might not be a little known fact, but I like that she dates her co-stars. Also, can I also recommend another one? Can I also recommend Coming to America, Made in America, which is another Whoopi Goldberg movie where Ted Danson rides an elephant in the middle of the street. And you guys, the movie gets wackier from there.
And then they started dating.
And then they started dating. So what I'm saying is only watch Whoopi Goldberg movies where she dates her co-star.
Oh, wait. What about you, Drea?
Okay.
I know you got
some
hot picks.
So I do have a 1990 staff pick, and it is a film that I remember being obsessed with and not really fully getting, probably because it's in French, and that is La Femme Nikita, which was ultimately like redone as an American movie with Bridget Fonda called The Point of No Return.
Point of No Return.
And then I think they made a TV show of it as well.
Yes.
If not several. But the original French version, it's just great. It's this woman who's like a teenage criminal and is like an accessory to a murder as part of a robbery and sentenced to death or something. And so they fake kill her and she wakes up in this place and they're like, okay, here's the thing. You can either work for us and be an assassin and we'll train you, or we'll kill you for real because people already think you're dead. And she's like, oh, I'm an assassin. And so then they train her, and her training also involves like Jean Moreau, this beautiful French woman, like teaching her makeup and the art of feminine wiles, but also like handguns and shit. And it's nonsense and I love it so much. And it's a little sexy. And she also falls in love with like this dude that is a grocery store bagger, which like I get. And the idea that she's this beautiful assassin who's like, I would like a blue collar love. Oh my God. La Femme Nikita, you guys. I love it so much.
La Femme Nikita. Ooh, okay. All right. Alonzo, what is your pick?
Well, it's funny. Coincidentally enough, we were, before we started taping, we were talking about the movie Love and Friendship, and writer-director Whit Stillman made his very notable debut in 1990 with a movie called Metropolitan. It's a very funny movie about debutantes and sort of young preppies in love, and it's, I think, one of the smartest American comedies, you know, of the last, you know, 30 plus years. Really well written, really sharp and observant, and nominated, you know, for a first screenplay. It's really impressive. Nominated for best original screenplay. Sadly lost that year to fucking Ghost.
You're the worst. Just the worst. Oh, my God. Way to stick the landing again, man.
You're welcome.
Wait, can I recommend another movie?
Yes.
Okay, there's this movie called Baby Boom that I just watched with Diane Keaton. Yeah, so it's a Nancy Meyers joint. She is a business lady who then like gets a baby somehow and then retreats to the country and then starts an applesauce empire. It is nuts.
Sam Shepard is my friend Whitney Seibold describes the male version of the manic pixie dream girl as the flawless rescue stud. Mm-hmm. Sam Shepard and Baby Boom, yes. Quintessential flawless rescue stud.
It's so good. What a wild movie. I love it.
Yeah.
So the movie, there's so many good picks, but you know, because like Tales from the Dark Side has the one, you know, story in there about the gargoyle that still sticks with me to this day. Kindergarten Cop. That's another person who was in their bag that year. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Real great.
He
got that, you know, and another, you know, hit for, you know, black people dealing with ghosts. Ghost Dad came out that
Ghost
year
Dad
too.
Ghost Dad is such
you know,
a
we,
terrible
we struck
movie.
It from the record, but the one,
it was bad before.
The one that,
but I love it. It's so bad, and I love it.
The one that's had the biggest impact on me. The movie I remember rewatching over and over and
Leonard
over.
Leonard Part
again.
Six.
No. Look Who's Talking To. And I did not know it was a sequel when I watched it as a kid. I only knew it was Look Who's Talking To. That toilet terrified me. And then I would rewatch it till I was brave enough to face the toilet that showed up in the scene. When they're doing the dance to, what was it, Jailhouse Rock? What was this, that big dance number in the kid play place?
I love that you're referencing this like any of us are going to be like, oh yeah.
Oh, y'all,
famous
y'all are not,
scene.
Yo,
Look
y'all
Who's
didn't...
Talking To.
I stopped after the first one.
Yeah, definitely one of Travolta's best. Probably, you know, one of if there was a move a Mount Rushmore of Travolta movies, Look Who's Talking To, right there next to Grease.
Oh my god!
You know, if you like John Travolta, you should watch Phonetic. It's a movie. It didn't come out in the 90s. It came out like last year. It's directed by Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
And
wild.
It's so bad.
I heard so much, and I probably
maybe the worst film of 2019.
I agree. Yeah. It is. Finally, we agree on something.
Hey, man.
You are correct. The choices made in this movie are wild.
Oh, just the poster lets me know I need to see this tonight. All he wanted was an autograph.
It's literally nuts. And then he plays a man like on the spectrum, and I think it's insulting to people on the spectrum.
Oh, thoroughly. Yeah, they should collectively sue.
Truly.
Oh, yeah. My
God. It is so nuts.
Tonight is being watched, and it might be my staff pick next week.
Stranger things about it.
Nicole... Thank you for joining
Thanks
us.
For
Anything
having
you'd
me.
Like us to plug?
Oh, I have a book coming out on June 2nd. It's called #VeryFat, #VeryBrave, The Fat Girl's Guide to Being Brave and Not a Melancholy Down in the Dumps Weeping Fat Girl in a Bikini. It's the longest title of a book ever. but it's like it's a picture book, coffee table, self-help book for the fats to
it was made
be
for
brave
me.
In a bathing suit.
Excellent.
Yeah, I remember like when you first started like making fun of that like notion of people seeing fat women in suits and being like, oh, so brave. Mm-hmm. And so you just kept using it as a caption. And there was that like moment where people didn't know you were making fun of it and they were like cheering you on. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, it's wild. Don't know. The things people don't understand. Like nobody understands sarcasm. It's nuts. Like, oh. I have a RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast where we say we're the only RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast. And people are like, actually, you're not. I'm like, oh, you think? You think?
Oh. If you can't put a winky emoji next to it, forget it. It's lost on people.
Yeah, people don't people get like, it.
You know, she definitely means it. Well... For those listening, again, the number for the Who Shot line is WSY-803-1664. And just a reminder, you can buy a Jumbotron on our show by going to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. And if you have a comment or suggestion about this week, it's a Jumbotron.
Like a big fucking TV in a stadium?
Kind of like that, except we like shouted out.
Vocal. Metaphorically.
It was like I'll do a this is good because you just highlight to me like some people might wonder what a Jumbotron may be. Here's one. Here's an example Jumbotron. This Jumbotron I'm about to read comes from Carl. Carl in Kentucky. This one is for Diane.
Oh, so it's like a metaphorical Diane. Jumbotron.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, Diane, I want a divorce. And then that's the
Wait,
that's
has anyone Jumbotron. Asked for a divorce on your show?
Not yet, but we live in hope.
Fingies crossed. Yeah. You can also use it to
promote your business or say your upcoming book.
Put it on the Jumbotron.
You got to come through. Pre-order that book right now.
Pre-order it from a local bookseller.
Yes.
You know, if you can't do it at a bookstore, they need you.
But you have to request the entire title or they won't know what you're talking about.
Honestly,
they'll be like, what? You do. Somebody the other day was like, I was having problems ordering it and I got on the phone with someone and they made me repeat the title like 3 times. And I was like, oh boy, I'm really ruining lives out there.
All right, so that's the show, and I want to thank everyone who's listened, everyone who shares, everyone who retweets. Like I said, everything counts. I think it's very easy to like listen to us ask for monetary things and think that's the only way to help, but really spreading the word and like so many people checking out the show for the first time because of your shares is almost as if you gave us that money, because they wouldn't have heard of us without you.
Those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Say it again.
The thumbs up on Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you might stream this show.
Yeah, I don't know how the other ones work, but whatever you're doing there, thank you for it, So if you haven't had a chance to become a member yet, you can do so at MaximumFun.org/join.
Hi, Casey here again, the producer. Just want to pop in real quick to say that there's a Max Fun Drive finale show tonight, August 7th. At 5 p.m. Pacific, just go to MaximumFun.org. You can find it there. This Who Shot Ya crew is going to be there, and I don't want to give away exactly what they're doing, but it does involve skincare. So check it out, and I'm sure you're going to learn something about them and yourselves. And this is the last day of the fun drive, so please join now. Now is the time to do it. Anything else, Iffy?
No, just stay thirsty. And okay. I'm not talking about no dose A keys, okay? Well, if you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us at Who Shot Your Pod. Our Facebook group can be found at www.facebook.com/groups/Who Shot Your Podcast, or send us an email at whoshotya@maximumfun.org. Our producer is Casey O'Brien. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. And this is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.